Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans proudly supports the Adam Carolla Show. So when you're choosing a mortgage lender, work with someone you can trust. Rocket Mortgage. They are transparent and they have an online process that gives you confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. Securely share your financial info for a mortgage and get approval in just minutes. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to be sure you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. So whether you're looking to buy a home or refinance your existing mortgage, skip the bank, skip the waiting, do it completely online at quickenloans.com/Adam. That's quickenloans.com/Adam. Dawson.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Ron Funches, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, snubbed for a Tony again, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for all you do. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Hey!
sound I make.
Funny, you're getting massaged.
Funny because the sound is funny, but also funny because of the recognition factor I feel for that. Because when you're getting the massage and something doesn't feel good, it's very hard to mask it. Like, there's no like, oh, that's good. Or, you know, whatever it is, it's,
yeah.
It's very involuntary.
Well, also, you know, whether you're a dentist and you see a badly decayed tooth and you're tapping on it with your metal instrument, or you're the masseuse and you're dropping an elbow from the top turnbuckle onto the golf ball that is formed underneath my latissimus dorsi muscle, just go ahead and know through personal experience that there's a certain degree of pain. You know, when the dentist is like tapping on that, is this sensitive at all? Mm-hmm. And there's tears, your tears are welling up.
You're very forthcoming with the approving sound effects. You're like, oh, that's good. That's the spot right there. That's good stuff. But then you're very apologetic whenever it comes to,
hey!
is that sensitive? No.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Your pressure's good.
I have the same thing. I think I have the same thing with the masseuse and the sex of the masseuse as I do with the too much pressure, which is I don't want to declare a major because I look at it as weak and close-minded.
Yeah. Mm.
So, you know, I always do. Like, I think most guys – now, this is interesting. Ooh, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do most guys have a preference? If you were to do a poll and you said to guys, what would you like for yourself in terms of preference of sex of masseuse versus working on your wife or girlfriend? I feel like I have stronger opinions for my wife or girlfriend than I do for me.
I feel like in general, everybody prefers a female masseuse. Masseuse.
Well, there's two angles. There's yes, but the dude sometimes can have stronger hands and a little more upper body and can get to it, depending on what you're looking for out of it.
I stand in stark contrast to you and probably most men, most people with the Y chromosome, because I declare a major very fast when it comes to the massage. I say,
male, please.
No. I say right away, I like a gentle touch. Please don't push too hard because I don't like the digging. I don't like the elbows. I don't like the digging. And I don't want to have to break it up in the middle. Like, you know what? That's a little much.
Male or female is the major.
I'm a caveman. I prefer a female.
I prefer a female too, but
I recognize I'm not evolved. If I was evolved, I'd be, you know, I don't care.
Males and females are a little bit different. Just like, I don't know why. I'm not sure. There's this drum that we never stop beating, which is we're the same. We're all just Caitlyn Jenner. We had a lab named Molly, and Molly was the sweetest dog ever. And then we got a lab named Phil, and Phil runs over everybody and knocks everybody down and goes at it with everybody. And he's got a good temperament, but he's a dude.
Yeah.
He's a dude. And if you lock When Molly would get locked out of the house and wanted to come in, Molly had a very gentle bark to let you back in the house. I've discussed it. It was her let me back in the house bark. Mm-hmm. Anyone who has a dog will get the difference between that there's a prowler outside or there's a squirrel outside or the can I get back in the house bark or I'm hungry bark. Mm-hmm. She had a very soft sort of bark, and it just meant, oh, Molly's outside. She trained us immediately. Phil takes his huge 10-gallon paw and whacks it. Against the glass. There's a sliding door. You know, the action's not that good. It's a little bit worked out, a little bit worn out. And it's like, the thing's like 6-7 foot wide and 7 foot tall. And when he whacks it with the middle of his paw, you hear it from anywhere in the house. It bonk, bonk, bonk. And he doesn't bark and he doesn't do anything. He whacks it.
Bam,
and
bam.
And if you don't get up and go do something, he'll just whack it again. Like, he's a dude.
There's a Phil-shaped hole in every wall.
He's got a paw outline.
Yeah, he's a male.
Yeah.
He's a lab. He's nice. He has the same sort of friendly temperament that Molly had, but she's a female. He's a male. He has a much different approach to life. So men and women are different in throughout the kingdom. And I think everybody who makes the sort of Caitlyn Jenner argument would readily admit to the polar bears being completely different, and even the labs being completely different. We're just a slightly more evolved version of that. We're just another one of the creatures that roam the earth, and they're just big differences.
Okay.
Can we celebrate them?
You may feel better about my pussitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, there's a different... I shook Caitlyn Jenner's hand 3 or 4 weeks ago at Amelia Island. I was surprised, like, not only on a woman, but on a dude. That's a big dude.
Big firm grip.
Big firm grip. Yeah, and
the world's greatest athlete.
When you shake Caitlyn's hand, you first thing your brain just kind of goes, what? Like, what? You're not used to even feeling that. Mm-hmm. So the difference between Caitlyn working on you with those big mitts is very different than a smaller woman.
But it can also be other things. I won't go to a male massage therapist ever again because I've had two massage therapists go full fifth date on me.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
And
Fifth date?
Yeah.
Anal. Well, that's what the...
Yeah.
Is that fifth date?
Yeah, it's the second time for anal.
Yeah.
Yeah, fourth is the
first.
Would
you like me to make banana cry?
And I said, no, thank you. And yet... One I think I talked about on the show, which was the massage that I got before the chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
And one was at a little boutique place in Larchmont. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, you are dangerously close to entering me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't grab that.
I was going to say, it's
and,
there.
And so I think I'm done with the male massage therapist.
Also, you can call yourself... you can call yourself a therapist or a massage therapist or an airline pilot. That's great, but you're a dude first.
Yeah.
You're clearly a dude first, second, and third. And when an attractive, bosomy gal gets completely disrobed and you're 26 and she just lays down on a table and you're supposed to knead her like so much muffin dough, you're dude.
I'm with you.
No, dude trumps whatever... other thing you're supposed to be, whether you're
out of the way, massage therapist, dude's here.
Well, I mean, look,
I'm with you. I experienced it.
Letterman or O'Reilly or Run Nabisco.
Yeah.
You could do whatever you want. Dude will trump. That's my thing. Is like, as a society, when we don't recognize, like, what's that guy doing? He's been married for 41 years. He has a job and a chair and a this and a that. What's he hitting on that young? He's a dude. And if you don't believe in the dude part, guys will risk, you know, O'Reilly's home doing a podcast right now because he's a dude. Like, people go like, well, why would you risk all of
so
that
much?
Yeah, well, you had this great position, you're making millions of dollars a year, you got a marriage, you got adult kids, like, because the dude comes first.
You know, the only other conversation I've had like this lately is with addicts. Why would you risk all of this?
Yeah.
Is it the same? Is it a weird addiction mentality, or is it just an instinct?
Well, first off, and not, you know, when you're O'Reilly's age, but when you're 23 or you're 17 or you're 19, I've talked to Drew about this a million times, that testosterone thing that starts kicking in is a drug that's being released into your system, and it's forcing you to often do things that have horrible decision making and consequences and bad decision making. you know, you think about all the guys that have like, I'm camped outside of her house and right. I'm in the bushes and I'm getting spying. She's with her new boyfriend. I'm getting arrested now, or I'm getting in a fight with the new boyfriend. Hey,
let's drink some beers and rape.
What about just killing yourself? Mm-hmm. What about just being so, you know, she's with another man and now I'm going to jump off this bridge. Yeah. I mean, guys, decision making process can be clouded quite heavily by testosterone and urges and everything else. Sprinkle in a little booze and now
it's an activator.
It's a very bad decision making. Mm-hmm. And it's like these things of like, well, here's the guy. He's a newlywed. He's a professional athlete. He's making $1 million a year. He's out on the road. Can't keep his dick in his pants. It's like, oh yeah. Tell that 23-year-old guy who's striated and covered with muscles and veins and can dunk from the free throw line to just say goodnight to that 19-year-old in the lobby and head up alone to the room to beat off and watch a little Sports Center. And by the way, the more those guys have more testosterone, so there's more of it to go around.
There are women that are very aggressive about wanting to be with them, it seems.
There's studies that will say, too, that when guys are in positions of power, they create more testosterone, they produce more testosterone.
That makes sense.
Right. So there you have it. But now, back to the question, Gina, you probably don't have any of this, or maybe you do.
I don't know.
I'd put it to the people. I'll put it to Gary and anyone else around here. When it comes to the spouse and any girlfriend I've ever had, I prefer they have a woman. I prefer it. I don't care. I don't make a big deal out of it. Yeah. But the idea of just getting naked and getting worked over by the stranger is not as appealing to me when it's the 24-year-old dude that you had. I prefer a woman.
I agree with what you said. I would never begrudge Christy getting a male masseur, but all things being equal, yes, I probably feel the same way as you.
Yeah, and that's how men think. I think that women have a dusting of that, but they're not quite as resolute about it as dudes.
You think it's a territorial issue?
Well,
ultimately,
it just makes sense, and I don't know how we lost this one, but you know, this idea of as the dude, you go to the champagne room, you sit on your hands, the chick in the thong back does the grind on your thigh over your tough skins, and that can be considered aggressive for a lot of women at home. What was he doing? What was she doing? What was he doing? Like, I'm sitting on my hands and paying her $20 for one striper song. If you just sort of take this notion, hey, wife or girlfriend or significant other, I'm going to need you to get completely nude in front of this stranger, and then you can put this towel on, then you lay on the table, then we'll sort of take the towel off and work around you.
Oh my God, it's exciting.
That's pretty far down the road in terms of versus the lap dance with the pants and the belt on.
Especially for women who consider texting cheating.
But one is all about, overtly about, sexual fantasy and gratification, and one is supposed to just be about health and wellness and cucumber water.
Right, but I...
Don't flip me off, Gary!
I would argue that your version of what we're doing and our version of what you're doing is sort of in the eye of the beholder. So for women, I think, you know, for guys, minus the happy ending. And by the way, in my entire life, I've never been hit on by a gay guy overtly, and I've never been asked for a happy ending.
Would you like me to make Banana cry?
God willing, it had both done in the same session.
Yeah, same. We killed two birds with one bone.
Have you ever been getting a massage where somebody else was getting a happy ending in another room? I'm going to the worst massage parlors on the planet.
The
how on earth would you know that?
I'm beginning to work out. I'm done.
Exactly like
no,
that.
No, I would never really. I would really have no concept of what was going on in the next room. But it was a thoughtful question, and it had to be asked. Oh, wait a minute. It was a dumb question.
You have to ask the question the audience is thinking right now.
How would I know this?
Because the walls at some of these places are like particle board.
I guess
I've only experienced the opposite. Maybe we're going to different places.
I am going to the low-end places on Wilshire.
If you went with one of your buddies and your buddy had his M.O., you know?
He couldn't control his voice.
I heard it.
No, like, they're guys who go...
I'm unable to control the pitch or volume of my voice.
They're guys who go and go, this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I go here, and this is what I expect.
Oh, okay.
So I guess if you went there with that guy, and at a certain point, you heard him go, my calf is cramping, then you'd know what was going on.
I'm a vociferous customer. I'm loud.
I heard OF, OF, and some panting, and I figured, yeah.
That's the other thing, too.
On Wilshire, down by La Brea.
All the places I've been to have, like, super thick walls, and, like, you can't...
Well, you're richer than I am, Brian.
Quite clearly. We're not going to the right places.
All right. So, you had two guys hit you up.
Yeah. One at a chiropractor's office.
Was there
a
discussion? Was there a discussion?
Chiropractor?
Yeah.
Almost entered you?
No. The other one almost entered me. But remember the guy at the chiropractor kissed my back twice.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Sorry. Yeah.
My buddy... I went to the chiropractor and the guy dropped a digit on him.
That's one way to align a spine.
Is this the same chiropractor?
Could be. Kissed him on the shoulder and then he...
He
literally just dropped a digit on him.
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
Well, there is some therapeutic merit. No, the reason I'm not going out of my mind is because Mike August,
on the next Adam and Drew show.
Mike August is laying around on a table right now, having that done to him, his coccyx moved around.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's painful.
But it is. But there's really only one way when this thing starts floating around on you to sort of get it back off the soft tissue and into position, and that's it. So it's not like there is zero precedent. For it. It seems like something that needs to be discussed.
First, yeah. Do you think it was? Do you think
with my body?
Yeah.
No. That's part of it. If it was discussed,
the element of surprise.
I don't think he would have been discussing it with me, but no, this was just simply in the act.
It's been discussed afterwards.
Yeah.
That message for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah. Too bad it wasn't in a United lounge. He'd be a rich man now.
A rich man. Opportunity.
Yeah.
So the chiropractor did the shoulder kiss.
Well, yeah, his massage therapist that, you know, the added value massage you get before the adjustment, kissed my back on two occasions. The first time I was so shocked, I just pretended like it didn't happen. And the second time I was shocked and angry and just never went back.
This is a male?
Yes.
Were either one of these guys attractive?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to say what Adam's thinking. Were either of them of a different ethnicity?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Normally, I am thinking that.
Wait, what made you think that?
I'm wondering if there's some sort of either training that goes on in other lands or tradition that goes on in other lands that involves putting lips on backs.
Other lands like East LA?
Like Compton, they have a rich tradition. No, yeah. I'm thinking of like in Eastern Indian
in Thailand
or something.
Yeah.
Ayurvedic.
Yeah, something weird.
No. It was gross.
Okay.
I wrote a poor Yelp review.
Good for you. Well, that's it. Well, you're now whole again.
Yeah.
Okay.
4 stars.
Paul?
the massage was good.
33, San Diego. What's going on?
Hey, get it on, Ace, man. I'm actually at the tire shop right now. I freaking have a little situation. I'm going to run by you.
At the tire shop?
Yeah. So
hold on.
I have a theory.
I have a theory that the tire shop waiting room is quietly... the most used waiting room in terms of average time spent there.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the dentist, you hit the waiting room, but you have a 10 a.m. appointment.
Right.
You show up at 9:57 and they go, just sign in. It'll be right with you. And then you sit and at 10:04, the hygienist calls you in.
Right.
You really only spend about 6 minutes sitting there. The tire place, you go in and you go, so can you just rotate the tires and whatever? And they go, yeah. And then you go, what time should I pick it up? And they go, well, we can do it. We got a Chevy 350 dually here. We're just going to finish that and then you'll be next.
So you'll stay?
All right. And then you have these magazines, and the magazines are all trade magazines. And it's like, nitrous, is it inert? Big question mark. You know, tread patterns. Here's how often should you rotate? How often should you repack your front bearings? And you find yourself sitting there, but it always takes a little longer. But once they get on your car, it feels like something's going on, but there's always a little hold up and a little snafu. But I've quietly, I think, found myself hanging out in that waiting room. Mm-hmm. And they put the big glass wall up so you can watch your car.
Yeah.
Getting pulled in. At some point, there's this thing. the guy who you're dealing with behind the counter here, like the head tech guy, he goes over and he's having a conversation about your car that you're not privy to. And the guy's talking, he's wiping his hands, and there's a little handshake in there. And it's like, oh, what do we got? We got a tie rod? We got a bearing pad? What's going on? What's going on in there? Oh, CV joint, bad boot. What's going on? What's he saying about this car? It can't be complimentary. Mm-hmm. Shaking his hand, shaking his head a little bit. And then the guy who's listening is kind of nodding. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I'll tell. And it's kind of, it's like the nurse and the doctor. Like, how do we tell the patient he's got cancer? It'll be worked on. And then he'll come back and he'll say something sort of open ended. What's the rest of your day like? And you go, why? And, well, we got the CV joint. We have them here.
Do you have someone that can come pick you up?
Right, right. You get it's a car under warranty. You get a lot of that. Sorry.
I got to tell you, I love the smell of a tire shop.
I like the smell of it, too. It's got the smell of vulcanized rubber and the tears of the guys who work there. Paul, thank you.
Hey, that's hilarious because I just got hired to the emergency department as a nurse. But, yeah, that's total conversation, sidebar conversation. But, anywho, so I got up this morning. I'm working right now as a personal trainer, go to the gym, come back out to my car, notice I have a flat tire. And on the corner of the parking lot of this mall, you know, there's a tire shop. So I walk over there. I'm like, hey, I don't want to use the shitty, you know, jack that comes with the car. I'm like, hey, you know, do you mind, if I use your guys' floor jack, just wheel it over the parking lot, you know, jack my car, you know, swap out the tire, drive it on over.
No can do. The jack that comes with the car these days on like newer cars is like somebody, it's like a paperclip raped a Pez dispenser and had this. This was its offspring. Wow. Like they're so light and tinny. They used to be like heavy and thick and bodily. And now everything is just super tinny and super light and has to like clip on. And there's like, there's a plastic screw that you, it's so, that floor jack that they have over there, that you just roll over and just two pumps like and the thing's jack, like right on up. Yeah.
They're changing with the time. So I call on your bluff. Like, we know you're not going to change.
Yeah. They figured out that most guys turn in the car lease without ever busting the jack loose from the harness in the back. All right. Sorry. Go ahead, Paul.
So I look at the guy. I'm like, hey, you know, do you mind? And he basically just was like, no. We're not going to risk our jobs for you to get this tire jack across the parking lot to jack up your car. I'm like, wait, you don't have one or you will not let me use yours? He's like, no, none of us will risk our jobs. I'm like, who's going to be tattletaling on you? This is me and you, man. Like, let me just go down, get a safer jack, you know, do this menial little tiny task and come on back and I'll gladly buy, you know, a set of four from you. But no can do, man. Guy was pretty adamant that I was going to take his job from him.
Well, like here's why. Here's the danger. The danger of what we can become as a society. I was just talking to the writer. So it's like you do a TV show. You have writers. You write stuff, and they have lawyers, and they have to pass things past the lawyer all the time. So I tell everybody when Jimmy and I were doing Crank Anchors, it was always called Prank Puppets, and it was the name of the show that we had. It was a working title, but at some point a working title kind of becomes a title. Right. Like, I guess it's like you bring a puppy home from the pound and you give it a name and you say, oh, well, my wife and kids are they're out of town for a few days, or they'll be back in a week. They went to Chicago. So we'll officially name the dog by committee when they come back. But after you call it whatever you call it Stevie for a week, and then the wife and kids come back, and they get a couple days of calling it Stevie, and then they go, this weekend, we're going to sit down and come up with the official name. It just becomes the dog's name. It ends up working, and then you kind of go, he looks like a Stevie, doesn't he? And that's it. That's it. So for us, Crank Yankers was Prank Puppets, and it was just Prank Puppets, and we were developing it for a long time, and it got down to the very end when the lawyers at Comedy Central said, can't be called Prank Puppets. And I really went out of my mind. I was just like, are you kidding me? And they're like, well, it implies malice and blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, what? And then here's what we painted ourselves into. And this is the real danger in terms of a society. We have decided that everyone needs a lawyer and everything needs to sign off on everything. So we need a piece of paper that says, We're just talking to Giovanni, super fan Giovanni. He works for United Airlines. Mm-hmm. The guys that pulled Dr. Douche off the plane, those guys were not United employees. They worked at the airport, I guess. But United has to undergo all this supplemental training. All the training, the sexual harassment trains, like all this waste. It just wasted millions of dollars and man hours. And by the way, did any of the sexual harassment seminars of the last 20 years result in zero sexual harassment charges? Or are there more? Because people go to those things and go, oh, now I know what I can. Now I know what I can do. It doesn't do anything, but the new default setting for any business is don't do anything. You can't do anything. So it's like, hey, I want to do this. No. Hey, I want to lend out tools. No. Why not? It just no. Why? Because there's no upside versus this guy could be pushing the floor jack across the parking lot. It could hit a crack in the thing. It could get caught, hit him in the ribs. He cracks a rib. He sues us. So that could happen. And you go, yeah, but what are the chances that's going to? I don't know what the chances are. There's zero chances of it happening if we don't let any tools out. We won't lend tools. There's zero chance. Mm-hmm. But how about being a good neighbor? I can't legislate that.
Yeah.
And it times everything. If they shoot a piece at my shop, I have to sign a release saying it's okay to shoot. And I never sign anything. I hand it to Matt Fondelier. Matt Fondelier signs every single thing that's put in front of me. I literally don't sign anything. This is my sort of weird protest. Matt Fondelier signed every mortgage, every loan, piece of paper, every release, everything. But that's where we're at.
Matt Fondelier is a rich guy with like 5 houses and 10 cars.
Does Matt have the DNR on you, the do not resuscitate?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Got to get on that.
So this is the society that we have created. These are lawyers. These are companies. Everyone's litigious. Everyone's trying to cover themselves. Therefore, may I use the bathroom at the gas station? No, you may not. Why? Because you can't sue us for not being able to use the bathroom, although that's next. You can sue us if you go in there and slip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any number of things.
So all the things that used to sort of hold us together as a society, like, hey, neighbor, use the bathroom, borrow a tool. You want to use the phone or whatever that is. Let me come out and help you with whatever is going on with your. All those things that were not, you know, we had legislation about speeding and about, you know, putting your hands on somebody and all the things that were crimes, but we never legislated any of the just sort of neighborly, societal, community stuff.
Being human.
Yeah. Now it's, no, you cannot. I mean, if you want somebody, you know, if you're going to say, hey, I got this house and you're in town for a few months and you want to live in there for a few months and just go ahead, you just take care of the lawn and the electric bill. You'd have to have that person sign something to say they wouldn't sue you if something fell off the shelf while they were asleep and hit them in the shoulder. Like, it's sad.
At this huge, gigantic favor you're doing for them.
Yes, this is where we're at. So it's like the guys who used to, and by the way, every commercial I saw growing up would be Murph from Union 76 walking out with his jack or his tools down the street, the flashlight, and the housewife, the cars over here. Let me see what we got here. Those days are gone because nobody can risk doing anything anymore. And that is the opposite of a society. I think we look at this as, oh, it's lawyers, it's progress. It's, we have this move toward the light. No, it's a step into the shadows. These guys can't do what they want to do. And they're assholes. Thanks, Paul.
The best was, so I went and changed it and drove right fucking by them to the next tire shop and bought a set of 4. So they're out business.
What size tire? Let you tell me the vehicle. I'm going to guess the tire size.
Acura TL. I have to check the tire out.
What year?
He just.
What year?
2006.
He'll tell you.
Boy.
Jeez, I don't know anything about Acura TLs. Is that the small one, Gary? Show me a picture of an Acura TL.
It's a four-door small sedan.
Now, okay. This is fun.
2006?
Yeah, man.
I'm going with a 16-inch rim on that car.
I bet you're right.
I don't know.
I don't know how we're going to top this.
17.
17. Damn it. All right. 17. And I'm going with a 225, 55 series, maybe 50. 50 or 55 series. Go check those tires.
I got my man.
235.
Yeah, I got my man. What was the
35. 45.
That's
a performance tire on that car.
Sporty little sedan.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah, you left the sporty part
off. Oh, my God.
We
only went a car podcast just for this.
225, 45, 17.
Now I'm really getting interested.
Wait a minute. 225?
225, 45, yeah, 17.
Oh, all right. I got the 225 part then, right?
Paul, please throw your phone out the window.
Yeah. Right. No, the guy sold him smaller tires, Gary. I'm
fair
not
enough,
questioning
sorry.
You.
Just want to make sure I got
well, there's warm in San Diego area.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
That has anything to do with it.
Yeah. All right, enjoy your new skins. Wait, what kind of tires did you get?
Oh, God.
They're Kelly tires. Just needed a set, so sad. I don't know.
All right, good luck with that. See you in hell.
Hey, it's not a high performance.
No kidding.
Performance.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right. I have a tire dilemma.
Let's hear it.
Will you guys tell me what you would do?
Okay.
You guys tell me what you would do.
It's like high performance stuff or is this normal tire stuff?
No, it's high performance stuff. But I can't. I don't know what to do. You guys tell me. Gary.
Yo.
Gina, this is your chance.
Go have me look at a 16-inch... Avon Slick 27x14. Okay. These damn tires for my damn cars, the race cars, are super expensive.
Of course.
They're slicks and they're super expensive. And you can use them for 4 or 5 runs and then they're gone.
Okay.
I bought a tire and they're $400 a piece and you use them two or three times.
Disposable tires.
The stupid car was over at Les's shop, and Les's shop's a mess. And when he was like rolling the car, they've never been used, they've never been driven on, they've never been anything.
He rolled
it like over a screw or a nail, and it punctured a hole in it. Yeah.
Oopsie.
Yeah, it's not big enough, Gary. You need bigger. So there's a hole in it. Now it's a $400 tire, maybe more. And it's brand new and has a pin size hole in it.
Okay.
So I said, well, we got to patch it. And everyone's like, it's a race tire.
Yeah.
You can't patch it. And I said, no, but we'll just go to the inside where the hole is and we'll just put a little round stamp, rubber stamp, and we'll just glue it down with silicone and it'll be from the inside. That's not going to hurt anything. It's just got a little pinhole in it. It is a piece of rubber that is 2 feet wide. Like it's huge, it's a barrel of rubber. And it didn't work. And everyone's like, I'm telling you, you got to throw the tire away. And I'm like, it's brand new. It costs 400 and something bucks.
I know,
it's got a pinhole. It's got one pinhole in it. And it's like, it won't work. Somebody will hear me and tell me something about this. I got to do something.
I know there's no tread on these tires, but are there retread options, so to speak? Like, can you refurbish?
No.
Brutal.
No.
Right. Brutal.
Now, is the question, is there a patching element, or is the question who pays for it?
The question is this.
They're saying that can't be done.
I was telling everyone at the other shop, clean out all the tires we don't need, and Rob pulled out my brand new $425 Avon, never been driven once, huge racing slick. You can find it at Roger Krause or something.
It's highlighted right here on this bottom list. They only have one picture for the
whole
variety.
How much is that thing? You'll find out how much it is. Anyway, the point is
add to cart.
It has a pinhole in it. And I'm like, I refuse to believe. And it's like, we tried to patch it 3 times. It still leaks. Every guy says you can't run on it. Get rid of it.
That's like a horse. One bad little hoof and you got to take it behind the curtain?
Yeah.
Well, I can't. Les is poor. And then Les is going to say, that didn't happen at my shop.
More.
Or whatever. Right. So it's a total throwaway and eat it. I can't return it. I don't know what to do with it. I refuse to believe that there's a pinhole that we can't plug up from the inside.
It's a dime holding up a dollar.
Yeah.
That's a little thing that throws the whole thing in
Ron Funches is here. We'll bring him in 1 second.
Let's ask what he'd do.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about Books, man. Mother's Day flowers. Let's not get lured in with the $19.99 advertised price and then the checkout price of $94. Screw that. Books, the better way to buy flowers. Fully transparent pricing starting at just $40, includes free delivery, and it is beautiful, man. The stuff is I will say this. It's noticeably better than the other stuff you can get either in the mail or on the corner. They're sustainably farmed. They're straight from the grower to the customer. They last longer. They cost less. And good news. This year, me and John Tavis, the Books CEO, very nice guy, by the way, we put our little heads together, made a little Mother's Day video for you guys, and it's to Mom. We're making Mother's Day great again. So just text the word Adam to the number 64600, and we'll text you back the exclusive video message from me to Mom, guaranteeing she's going to get great flowers. It's fun, and I know all your moms are huge fans. That's Adam. You text the word Adam to the number 64600, and you'll get the code for 20% off. So you get a code, and you get another 20% off. Do the text, get the code, get the 20% off, get the Books, man. Just the best, and have some fun with Mama at the same time. The Books, baby. All right, let's see. Ron Funches is here. We will bring him in. Let me just get rid of these last two phone calls, and then we'll bring Ron in. Hey, Scott, 50 Phoenix.
Hey, Adam. I wanted to thank you guys for helping me get my garage organized. And it's interesting.
It's a long day.
Mm-hmm. You guys, I called a few months ago, and you guys said, yeah, you're kind of hoarding. You got to just start crashing and burning and throwing it out. So, and I found my old heart catheterization, and I found a book that my mother had given me. And it's from 1976, and it describes tetralogy of Fallot, and that's what Jimmy Kimmel's little baby had.
Yeah.
It's cool. I have the surgeon's report, and then I got this book that was put out, given me to my mom by Merle Horn, social worker. She was just the person that does the good news of the bad news of the heart thing.
And one of the greatest ropers to ever come down to Pecos.
That's it.
Merle
but anyway,
Horn.
I found that, and I found my driving test.
She did some for exhibition, but mainly she worked.
She can rope a steer.
Ranch, yeah.
Right. She can rope a steer like no one else.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Adam, the one thing, you need to find a Mexican tire shop for your race car. And the last thing I learned about Jimmy's situation is his son's going to have another surgery. They just did a temporary so he'll grow.
I think Jimmy knows that.
He said that on there.
I'll pass that along.
Got it.
I was put in a awkward-esque position, which is I got the email last whatever that went, we're welcoming to the world the little William Billy Kimmel. I'm going to call him Billy Kilmer, probably by mistake, 2,800 times. But anyway, Billy Kimmel. And so that was the email I got. I could look it up last Wednesday or something at noon. And it was a great, healthy, young baby, whatever. And then you get the email the following day at noon that says bad news. And it's like, oh, my God. Well, boy. We went from happy pictures of mommy, smiling, young, bouncy baby, to the headline that says, like, bad news for Billy. And it's like,
you don't want to open that email.
What is up? Yeah. What is up? And then it's like, Billy's got a condition. Billy's blah, it's blah. They're flying in surgeons, blah, 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 blah. And you know, Jimmy's the most thoughtful. I mean, he's really just the most thoughtful guy in the world. He's the tire's $499.
Why'd you make it worse?
Before tax. That's before mounting and balancing. And taxes. And excise charges.
Tangent.
Still never figured out what an excise charge is, but I'm tacking it on.
I feel like if they send something somewhere, they're gonna charge you for it.
Especially something that weighs that much, $500 before taxes.
Lord.
It's got a pinhole, Gary. Okay. The real now look,
that green goop.
I'll never use the tire. I'll never use the tire, but I'll never throw it away either because it's brand new and it's cost me $550.
So back to Billy's pinhole in his heart.
Yeah. This got a pinhole in it. Okay. Can we prioritize?
I feel like we are.
Oh, if you turn it sideways, you can make a flower pot.
A playpen for the kids.
Yeah.
So you get the email, and Jimmy's the most thoughtful guy in the world. It's a very long email, very detailed about everything. Please pray. You know, I prayed. I'm an atheist, but I'm like, my feeling with praying is right up there with the meditation and multivitamins. Like, couldn't hoit.
You said a prayer to Paul Newman and said, please cure this child.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was praying for the tire. That was Newman.
Okay,
and then I went over to Billy.
Yes, and.
So I said a prayer, whatever version I got. I don't have much to choose from. But and then you'd get an update the next day. You can update the next day. You got the, now you got to understand, Jimmy gave the please do not send teddy bears and flowers and right. don't come by the hospital. And I, first off, done and done, number one.
Way ahead of you.
And number two, I am so wired for that. When I would do Letterman and Baby Doll would be like, hey, me and August will come by before the thing, wish you well. I'd just be like, just give me, and because they're in your dressing room and they're like eating and they're watching the monologue and they're laughing and they're talking. You nervous? You feel good? What are you going to say? If you got it? Yeah. And it's like you're walking out in 6 minutes and you just want, all you want is quiet. When we're done, we'll go out and have a drink. I totally get that at the hospital. Yeah. Everyone's wanting to come by, want to know how everyone's doing. Everyone's frazzled, especially the wives. The wives get frazzled. They don't want to see anybody. They got real problems. Mm-hmm. And they get it. You're at home hoping against hope that everything turns out. You don't need to make the appearance and say it to their face.
And you just want things to work out. You want to be helpful some way, somehow. Either sending a flower.
Yeah, so he would send very detailed emails about exactly what's going on, who the procedure is, what's the name of the doctor, what's next. But then thank you for your prayers. Keep them up. But please, no need to send, the cookie basket right. and come in and press the flesh and everything like that. So, you know, I just answer back, same prayers. And, you know, with each subsequent email, he got better. Now, I didn't want to come on and talk about it because it's obviously a personal thing. And it's the kind of thing, some people are very personal about this kind of stuff. Some people are superstitious mm-hmm. about it, mm-hmm. about this stuff. Some people don't care about this stuff, but I'm not willing to experiment or test that out.
No. Sure.
It's between you.
It's not your place.
Yeah,
and,
right.
and your God and your wife and your newborn and the doctors and I will. You know, he didn't say, hey, don't say anything. I just think until otherwise,
you better judgment.
I'll let him make the announcement and then I'll weigh in. But this is what I was dealing with for the last week. Just and so you'd see the email, you'd come, you know, be update on Billy and it'd be like, please let it be something good. Right. So, yes.
Yeah. Well, and I remember you saying for a few days last week, like, I'm sorry, I haven't slept. And you're like, okay, whatever, you work. But when I saw this clip this morning and heard about it, I thought, oh, this is probably on your mind a lot last week.
It was. And, I'm such a fan of technology and modern medicine and the crazy things we can do now that just couldn't have been done a few short years ago. Brian will attest to that.
What does he know?
That I'm always supremely confident, especially when they're at the best place in the world for this stuff. But who knows what email you're going to wake up to. And so it's just a very kind of stressful time. But God bless him. Best parents in the world. And, Jimmy is so stoic and so even-handed. And even during this incredibly stressful time for him, I wouldn't say his number one concern are all the friends and well-wishers and family, you know, including his friends. It's not obviously Billy's his number one concern, but his close second is people and their anguish and how they're feeling and how this is making them feel and what they're going through. And so thus you get long, detailed things about, here's what's happening. I know a lot of you are curious when this is going to happen. You know, wouldn't be like, hey, it's day four. It's looking better. I'll check in tomorrow and keep you posted. Got to talk to the doctors. No, it's like long emails about here's what's happening. Here's what the next thing is, because he knew that a lot of those people would be going, well, what's next? And who's the doctor? And what are they doing? So he was like, I'm going to answer everybody's question in this email. And then you don't need to come in or write back. Right. Well, what's the name of the doctor? I know a doctor, you know, none of that.
Can I just mention one thing that I think could be helpful at some point when you least expect it? I saw this diagram one time that I really loved called Comfort In, Dump Out. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's going through cancer or whatever, something trivial like that, Brian.
Yeah.
And so the person that's affected,
the stuff.
Right. Yeah. Person that's affected in the middle, like the bullseye person, all the comfort should be going toward them. And then, you know, the person out, you know, the parents and then the cousins or whoever's, you help the next person, but you want to dump out, let those people tell you, you know what, this is really stressful. To be honest, I'm having a really hard time. But the fringe friends, you don't get to dump in. You know what I mean? You're all about helping the person on the next tier and making their life easier on the way out.
Agreed. All right. So God bless Billy. And Scott, I'm glad you douched your garage out.
Well, yeah, no, I found this. It's amazing. I saw my dad's signatures on the operation forms. It's pretty interesting. I got to call my mom. But I think we're going to revoke your atheist card if you're going to start praying, because my mom calls me. I'm like you. My mom calls me to ask for prayers, and I go, okay, I'll do that. But
if Jimmy nice told to me believe. To put my thumb up my ass and wear a party hat and march
adjust
in place like a private pile, I would have done it for this period of time, number one. Number two, again, I don't necessarily believe in sending your prayers up to God, who's the satellite, and having him bounce it back down to the patient. I believe in putting out the good vibes.
Yeah.
I'm saying? No, and I don't even believe in that. It's just, how could it hurt? Put some good vibes out, and maybe it's for you. Maybe it's for me. Maybe it's to settle me down. All right, let's, okay, hold on 1 second. Hey, Mark, you want to know if I've taken Phil to the dog park?
Yeah, hey, Ace, man. Would you mind if I wish Gina kind of a belated happy birthday?
Let her know. Absolutely forbidden. No. Take it back.
Well, I'll tell her Gigi's doing just fine. I don't know if you saw a picture of the
Oh, my God. Thanks. Mark named a service dog he's training after me for my birthday, and it's really cool. I love it. This is the second animal, by the way, that's ever been. I got Gina with the news is a racehorse that was named after me when I worked at KLSX.
Wow.
I love this. I love this, Mark, and I love what you do, and I'm really, really, really proud of you guys.
Hey, Mark, I've never taken Philly cheesesteak to dog park because he's insane. He's insane. Here's what I let him do. There was a dog who looks like Triumph, the insult. The wonder dog, the insult wonder dog, who's behind a fence, who constantly barks at Phil when I take the kids to Starbucks at night. But I decided he was nice, even though he barked a lot. And I let Phil go over there and sniff him through the whatever. Phil does. Here's the equivalent of what Phil does. And I'll try to describe this. It'd be like if you met a homeless guy, but he looks sort of friendly, and you walked up to him. And he started talking, and he talked a little more, and his hands were by his side, and he didn't appear to pose a threat, and he seemed sort of down on his luck, but it also seemed like he seemed pretty lucid and didn't seem high or out of his mind or something. And then at some point, he just did a crazy move where he jumped up in his air and threw his hands out as wide as he could and made the noise I made when the masseuse dropped the elbow on my knot, and you just freak out, right?
Not, of course, not, you wouldn't expect it.
Not thinking he's stabbing you or shooting you, just you don't know what's going on.
Right.
Phil does a move where he goes up and he sniffs and he sniffs and he sniffs, and then he licks him in the face and he sniffs and sniffs, and then at some point he steps back, jumps up and does a barrel roll and lands on his back, and then he pops up again, and then he lunges at them, and then he pops back again. He's not doing anything.
No,
he's just going out of his mind. But they're like, he's 110 pounds, and they're like, what the? I don't know what this is. Like,
that kind of action.
Right.
I have been punched in the kidney so many times by that dog.
Right. He's playing, but he's scaring the crap. And if I took him to the dog park, he would pull my arm out of socket and jump on a little dog. And he only trying to play.
Yeah.
All right. We'll bring Ron in. First, I'll tell you about Cabbage, man. Wondering how to get funding for that small business? Cabbage helps small business owners get flexible funding right away without the headaches of a traditional loan. You can apply online, use your phone, no waiting. No, super easy. You don't wait in line. You don't have to scan documents. You don't have to track down financial statements. You just hop online, use it on your computer. Like I said, do it on your phone. Only pay for the funds you actually use. They've supported over 100,000 small businesses with $2.9 billion in funding. You can visit cabbage.com. That's with a K. That's cabbage.com/Adam. No cost to apply. As an Adam Carolla Show listener, when you qualify for your funding, you'll get $100 worth of Visa gift card. That's super nice. And again, just for qualifying. So go to Cabbage with a K. That's K-A-B-B-A-G-E.com. That is Cabbage.com. Gary, do we need to take a break?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then why don't you bring in Ron?
You got it.
Ron Funches. Let's see. Portlandia. Bob's Burgers. Let's see. Tons of shows like that. I'll stand up. You'll know who he is.
Ron's hilarious.
His stand-up's so freaking funny.
He is... got a bunch of stand-up dates coming up here. You can go to Ron Funches. That's FUNCHES.com if you want to know anything about Ron and stand-up shows. And he's going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's going out to San Diego, American Comedy Company. And
oh God, it's half of Ron Funches.
Oh, thank you.
How much weight have you lost, Ron?
Right now we're at 140 pounds.
Hey!
Wow.
Mazel
tov. Thank you. How did you do that?
I just stopped doing things I enjoyed.
I know.
Well, like Adam says, if it tastes good, it's not good for
you. I know. That's the answer. Isn't it sadly the answer? It's like, stop doing stuff you enjoy, start doing stuff you hate.
Yeah, and trick your mind into enjoying it.
Right.
Or at least putting up with it.
Right. So, what were you at your peak, weight-wise?
I like how you put it.
Peak. Yeah.
Oh, at my fighting weight, I was at 360 pounds.
And, yeah, how tall are you?
I am 5'11".
So, that's a lot of weight for that height. And was there... I always talk to Dr. Drew about either...
I love Dr. Drew.
Everyone loves Dr. Drew, except for me.
Okay.
And his kid and his girl.
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
Dr. Drew says the way one loses the weight or one quits the drugs or quits the drinking is at a certain point, it's not everyone around them telling them you got to lose weight or you got to get your act together. It's they become... They either die or they become disgusted with them. Like they literally, they do something that makes them disgust. You know, they see themselves drunk and hitting their kid and they see themselves in the mirror and they become disgusted.
And then they decide to lose weight?
Yeah. And part of the regimen is beating their kids.
Yeah.
That's it's a real calorie burner.
That's the workout. No, they see a picture of themselves on 4th of July barbecue with their shirt off or something. They get disgust and they go, I'm going to do it. It's not because their spouse is yelling at them. But that's his theory. That makes sense to me.
I mean, for me, which I assume is what you're getting at, it's a tell you my story.
Tell me a story of disgust.
It wasn't really a story of disgust. It was mostly that, I mean, I'd always been a big guy, but I felt like I could carry the weight and I never felt compromised by it. And it also was balanced by the fact that I was poor. So I could eat poorly, but I would only eat like one or two things. And then when I got on the first TV show, it was like Postmates all day, every day, cheese steaks. And so it really got up to that 360. And then my knees started to hurt. And I'm like, I'm 30. At the time, I was like, I'm 32 years old, so I don't think my knees should be hurting. And as far as like the moment, it would be my mom came to visit for like Thanksgiving, and she wanted to go buy me some clothes. And then she just came back, and she was just like, I don't like buying you clothes this size. It doesn't make me feel good.
That's interesting. I was with Mark Gargis the other night, the lawyer, and the mom, there was a mom, not his mom, but a mom, an adult son. And the like adult son was leaving, and that guy probably had an extra few pounds on him, and she was like slapping him in the belly, going, "Hey man, let's work on that." And I think he heard her. I don't know what he did about it, but there is this sort of thing where it's like, "Well, don't say anything." He'll go into a shame spiral and start just eating ice cream right out of the dispenser at the Carvel. But also, I don't know, isn't it a parent's job to kind of go, hey, worry about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think exactly, the parents. It's not like, you know, if anybody else was like, oh, you old fat ass or whatever, I don't care. But it's like my mom, you know, I know she cares about me. So I know she's not saying anything to just make me feel bad. She's saying this because she cares about me. And also my mom works in the health industry. She's a nurse. So she, I take her word seriously.
So what was the plan? And then we'll move on to more comical endeavors. But like, was it just like, all right, I'm going to start watching what I eat, or was it I'm going to get on a diet and figure it out? Or
basically, I got in the gym for a little bit and lost like 20 pounds, and then I plateaued, fizzled out, put back on like 30 pounds. And then the show I was on, Undateable at the time, which actually Dr. Drew came on once, the guy who ran it, Bill Lawrence, was like, hey, I noticed you were trying to lose weight. Didn't look like it stuck with you. If you want, I have a good trainer. His name's Jorgen DeMay. He's really dope. and I met him, and most trainers I would have been like, I hate you, I can't deal with aggressive people anyway. But he's just a real weird dude. From he's Dutch, he just fit my mood personally and perfectly. And then he was just like, look, this is your job, this is what you do. If you want to get better roles, if you want more money, you're going to have to put your emotions aside and just do what you need to do. And I was like, this is the best way anybody's ever put it to me, because that's perfect.
What is, are you down to where you want to be?
I reached my initial goal, which is like 225, and then now I'm trying to go, I'm a big wrestling fan, and there's a show called 205 Live for the cruiserweights, and I'm like, I want to qualify.
Oh, really? Oh, there's a professional wrestling, not MMA?
Yeah, no.
But there's a professional wrestling 205.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I thought it was always just sort of unlimited.
I think they're trying to steal. No, they have the unlimited, and then they have, like, here's the smaller guys who don't take steroids.
Ah, so like a natural bodybuilding competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. Uh-huh.
The perfect 10 of wrestling.
I love your studio, by the way. Can I tell you that? It's awesome. Yeah. I love all the cars. My son, he would be in heaven here.
He likes cars?
He loves cars.
Oh, like, he and Sonny would get along perfectly.
Yeah, I don't even know where he gets it from. My son's like the opposite from me. He's like a total jock, college football dude, loves cars. My goal, what he wants for his 16th birthday is Aston Martin 2008 DBS. And that's where I want to get him. And so I need, so y'all need to come out to Funchamania.
Corolla, give you one of his.
Okay, get a good prize.
I got a DB9. He'd probably be devastated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He wants the 8. He said he
wants the S. Yeah, okay. The S is one of the most beautiful cars ever created. As a matter of fact, Aston Martin's kind of been taking steps backwards in terms of the looks of the car. They're getting a little too spacecrafty, but the DBS, one of the best looking grand touring cars.
That's his favorite car
in the world. How old is he?
He's just turned 14.
He's got great aesthetic taste.
Yeah,
and
he does.
I'm not kidding around. That's just one of the most beautiful, sexy shaped cars ever to be produced.
Looks
it's
like
the
liquid.
DBS. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful car.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree with him. I don't know anything about it. He does.
Well, that's an interesting thing. I don't know why we do have our things with parents where we try to attribute this and attribute that. And it's weird. You think we would have learned our lesson by now, which is I'm a nut with the cars. My dad hates cars. If there was a 0 to 10, he'd be minus like a 7. It comes to cars. He literally knows nothing, cares to know nothing, and really doesn't like cars. But every time I talk to somebody, it's like, you like cars? Yeah, huh? Yeah, dad, big gearhead, taking all the car shows at a garage with you, work on a garage with a transmission. I was like, no. And they're like, your mom's a big gearhead? I was like, no. Who's a big gearhead? It's like, nobody. I like
Stepfather,
cars. Like, yeah, we don't really do it with comedy. Like, oh, your mom was a stand-up? Like, no, she wasn't a stand-up.
Quite the opposite.
But why do we pick certain things?
Like,
anything to do with building, which I get, and anything to do with cars. Oh, so your dad. Your dad was a builder, he's a contractor. He brought you the thing. Oh, you guys fix a car on the way to the job site before you did the building. It's like, no, I like these things because that's just who I am.
Sometimes, and I feel like that's the best thing you can do as a parent is just support it, even if you're not interested in it. Because I'm just like, look, I mean, he loves Star Wars. I never watched a full Star Wars in my life. He's a big jock, and I'm a big old, basically a black PM Don type of black guy. So, like, we're just different people, but I love him.
Yeah, it's fine because get used to it, everybody, because if you have a girl, she's going to go from American Girl dollies, where you're supposed to go have tea parties down at the Grove with her for $89. Bucks.
Very expensive.
And she's going to be into hair and songs and Katy Perry and who you might be into, but for very different reasons.
Yeah.
PM Dawn.
She's
like,
lucky.
Get used to just kind of being into what your kids are in. God forbid they don't get into soccer, but at some point if they do, you're going to have to go support that as well.
Absolutely. I've been to a few. Kids Bop. Ugh. That's the worst thing in the world.
What's Kids Bop?
It's when kids sing songs that are horrible to begin with.
Like a kid would sing a Katy Perry song that you hate.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. It's rough.
Yeah, it's rough.
I would like it if they did it with gangster rap, but they don't.
No. And so for you, now your son's a jock.
Mm-hmm.
your son's into cars,
mm-hmm.
and your son loves Star Wars.
Yes.
That's a lot of range.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a man.
It's a renaissance
call him
boy.
A little Ron Swanson, basically.
Into woodworking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a full-blown man, beard.
you live out here?
Yeah, I live in Hollywood.
Oh, all right. Well, feel free to bring him by. I got another shop filled with race cars.
Okay, cool. He will absolutely love that. So,
and he can kick the tires on the DB9, but unfortunately can't kick my Avon tire, my racing slick.
Kick it all you want.
Holds no air. All right.
The world's most expensive tire swing. You can put that up.
Ron, it's actually too thick for a tire
Everybody
swing.
Everybody could get in it.
Yeah.
Chew toy for Phil.
Tell someone over at that other shop to take a picture of that tire just to make everyone weep and send it to you.
I bet somebody in CrossFit would want it, flipping it a few times.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kick it.
Yeah.
Ron shows, if you go to ronfunches.com, you can find out all the live dates, Charlotte, San Diego, San Francisco. Ron's always touring around, so you can go do that. Powerless, Thursday nights, 8:30, NBC, that as well. All right, should we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
And Ron hang out?
Sure.
Crackwise?
Okay.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Break. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
I know we spoke about this on the show earlier, but I'd like to play you a clip or two if that's okay. Jimmy Kimmel returned to his show Monday night to explain why he's been gone for a week. Unfortunately, it was because there were some complications with his newborn. Turns out his son Billy was born with a heart disease and needed to be rushed to Children's Hospital, L.A. Here's Jimmy describing the moment they knew it was the baby's heart, not the baby's lungs.
But they did an x-ray and his lungs were fine, which meant his heart wasn't. So now more doctors and nurses and equipment come in, and it's a terrifying thing. My wife is back in the recovery room. She has no idea what's going on, and I'm standing in the middle of a lot of very worried looking people, kind of like right now, who are trying to figure out what the problem is. It's Friday night, and so they call a pediatric cardiologist, Dr. Evan Zahn, who, when they called him, was picking his mother up from the airport. Luckily, her plane was not delayed because he got to the hospital very quickly. They did an echocardiogram, which is a sonogram of the heart, and found that Billy was born with a heart disease, something called tetralogy of Fallot with pulmonary atresia. It's hard to explain. Basically, the pulmonary valve was completely blocked, and he has a hole in the wall between the left and right sides of his heart.
Now, Kimmel went on to say that Billy underwent a 3-hour surgery. He's going great. Billy will probably have another one, and then another one as a teenager, but the outlook looks really good. Meanwhile, 2-time gold medalist in snowboarding Sean White came on the show because he was born with the same thing Jimmy's son was. Help calm Jimmy's fears. Here's a moment from that.
And did your parents, did they become overly protective? Did they keep you away from doing things? Were there sports that they didn't allow you to play?
Obviously not.
No, good for them.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing, you know, and that's so important, is that my parents are the ones that really made me who I am. Obviously, they didn't put these limitations on me. It was obviously explained, hey, this is what happened. You should be cautious. But it wasn't this, like, hovering over me to make sure I wasn't, you know, getting into trouble or working out too much or doing anything active. But, they really let me find my own limitations.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so, YOLO,
man. So Billy's
cool.
YOLO.
Yeah,
Sean White.
Billy's home. We know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And showed a picture, and he looks, oh my God, he's so freaking cute. They showed the comparison with the poor thing with the tubes everywhere, and then just a happy, smiling little guy.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Glad it all turned out. I'm glad he outed himself.
Yes. Well, another day, another crazy video taken on board a commercial flight. A Japanese ANA flight from Tokyo to LA was preparing to leave the gate when two passengers began throwing punches at each other. Passengers watched in horror as flight attendants tried to break up the melee. It's interesting because they're just two basic white dudes, one in a Tommy Bahama shirt. Now, the guy in the red Hawaiian
not
shirt
so laid back.
Was said to be drunk when he started fighting other passenger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was eventually led get off the plane and arrested for assault. The flight eventually departed almost 2 hours later. Here's a few seconds of the craziness with this other guy just trying to get away, or at least trying to get help.
Wow. Ooh, that's a good, good rhyme, good straight rhyme.
Someone help! This guy's crazy!
Wow. The guy's throwing the straight right seems to got a little more pop in his punch. I'm not sure.
The other guy was slap fighting.
The guy was doing a pawn move. He was digging for a bone.
Yeah. Now, the question everyone asks is this more rampant than it's ever been, or are people just capturing it more on their phones?
Here's what's going on. There was an area, there was a barrier to entry in flight. There was a barrier to entry in cruising on a ship. I mean, taking a cruise back in the day had guys wearing top hats and pocket watches, and now you got guys in flip-flops and cut-off sweats and big Johnson t-shirts.
Fly United.
Anytime you make anything essentially free, that's what comes in. So if you have a restaurant and it's Tavern on the Green and no one gets out of there for under $500, then you get a certain group that's going to come in there. Every once in a while, you get these sort of nouveau riche guys who won the lottery and they're going to come in there and get drunk and cause a scene. But by and large, it's a scene from Arthur and they're at Tavern on the Green. If Tavern on the Green started serving nachos and said we have a happy hour and nachos are $4.99 and Coronas are $1.99, well, you would see the atmosphere change in there. It would attract a certain group. So airlines have become like buses. Yeah. This used to take place on buses because if you wanted to get from here to Portland on a bus or from here to Vegas or whatever on a bus, it'd be significantly cheaper 25 years ago. Now, the plane is cheaper than the bus, and thus the people who used to ride the bus are now throwing down on the plane.
To be fair, this was a flight from Tokyo to L.A., which still the cheap. The prices have dropped dramatically. That's not a
That's what I was going to say. I would say I would buy that argument if these fights were happening on Spirit Airlines, and they are not.
No,
so I don't buy that. I think people are stressed out and drunk.
They're stressed out and drunk.
The guy was a little crazy too. Speaking of crazy, because he said, "You think I'm crazy? What about the government?" That's what the quote
was. That's what I'm saying.
Saying stressed out and drunk, but formally. The flight to Tokyo was out of reach
for most people
for that stressed out drunk mail carrier or whatever he did for a living, and now it's within reach. We can do it. A couple of people on a school teacher salary can go to Europe once a year if they get the cheap enough flight. And also, we've thrown dignity is out the window. We're done. We some asshole said, 5 years ago, you can't judge, and everyone went, oh, good. Now I'm going to get drunk and throw down with guys with Hawaiian shirts on planes then, because as long as you can't judge, we should bring back judging. I judge all day, every day. I never stop judging.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm. Now, you said...
Look at my tire. Oh, it's a Goodyear. It's not even an Avon.
That's a deep tire.
More expensive. More expensive than the Avon is the Goodyear.
Oh, there's the pinhole.
There's the pinhole. Now, the slot you see is a little wear hole. That's fine.
Wait, what? That's way bigger than the pinhole.
No. That only goes down 3/16 of an inch to see how the tires are wearing.
Okay.
It'll be an indicator. When that thing's gone, there's nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. Look how fat that tire is. How expensive that tire is. Pinhole. Gotta make it work.
Horrible.
All right, anyway.
What's
the name of that doctor that was it Zion?
Fix the hole in little Billy's heart.
Come on, you can handle this. This should be a layup for you, Doc. Yeah. This is nothing.
Catheter. You saved a human life.
Get him to the shop. I got real problems here. Mama Uber to the airport. Sorry, where were we?
Well, Ron, you said your son's into all kinds of things. Is he a Game of Thrones guy? Are you a Game of Thrones guy?
No, neither of us are Game of Thrones guys. It's too violent for both of us.
Wow. Okay.
Never been into it.
This will apply to none of you then. Mm-hmm. The University of California, Berkeley will be offering a course in Dothraki, which is a language featured in Game of Thrones. Now, here's a quick sample of what Dothraki sounds like.
Oh, boy. People used to speak Klingon.
Yeah, it's like Romulan and
that's
Klingon.
That's Berkeley?
Yes, of course it's Berkeley.
Of course it's Berkeley. I got to do shows Berkeley, there because they're just wasting parents' money. Yep. I got to get some of it.
Berkeley yeah. reminds me of... I feel like they're almost trying to get like discredited or something. Like they're trying to get they're tired. You know, like I have this theory that once in a while when people just sort of want out,
uh-huh. yeah, it's try my to get fired instead of quit.
It's my thing where it's like you're cheating and you got all these sex and dick pics and stuff and you just leave it on your phone and you just set it on the counter and your wife comes
you're
home and it's just like it's like there and you go, I never wanted to get divorced. It's like, yeah, maybe not. Consciously, but subconsciously, you don't leave the phone with all the incriminating yeah. stuff and no password and everything. You just set it on the countertop, you know?
You
like,
think it's happened in Berkeley?
They went out.
Too many dick pics.
They
interesting.
Went out. I have the same theory about Freddie Mercury.
What?
Freddie Mercury was
go
like,
on.
I'm gay. I don't really want to make the announcement, but I'll just let people find out. I'll grow the gayest mustache.
Mm-hmm. We'll call it Queen.
I'll grow the gayest mustache ever is, and I'll prance around in these tight yoga pants with no shirt and a cane, and I'll just mince about the stage, and it's like, man, that guy pulls down a ton of pussy on the road. Like, we got to name the band Queen. We name the band Queen, mixed with the mustache, mixed with the cycling chants.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll know for sure.
God, Freddie Mercury, so confident, his ability, so confident, sexuality.
Ladies love that mustache. Boy, they love this. Like, I got to get AIDS. I got to get AIDS. There's nothing I can do. Like, I can't. No one believes me.
I guess that's what happened when you crush so much pussy on the road. You get AIDS eventually.
Yeah, must have got probably. It was probably him and Magic Johnson passing a bitch around.
Loving them fat bottom girls.
I think Berkeley just wants out. Like, see, I think they're just going, like, we're tired of being a university.
My thought was Berkeley's like, hey, it's been a long time since we were Berkeley. Let's be Berkeley again. Like,
yeah. Go full Berkeley.
Let's get back to what made us Berkeley.
Yeah, we've been churning out too many lawyers and crap.
We're like a good school now.
We got to go back to the freak fly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Rocky major.
Yeah. Kids are wearing shoes and shirts to class. This is ridiculous. This isn't us.
Get back to being like if Willy Wonka ran a university.
Right. You're right. Yeah, Berkeley wants to get back to being Berkeley.
Make Berkeley
your admissions
Berkeley
note
again.
Is a golden ticket.
That's right.
All right. Well, I won't go.
Professor David, do you want me to?
Well, let me tell you. Let me just jump in here and tell you about LifeLock. Yeah, man. Internet browsing history and data can now be sold to advertisers by internet service providers thanks to a bill passed by Congress and signed by Devil Trump. Got to do a t-shirt, right? Identity theft, America's fastest growing crime. That's why I have LifeLock. The kids have it. Philly Cheesesteak has LifeLock as well. Lynette has it. LifeLock scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second. If they detect info that they sent, and they'll send you an alert and let you know, you won't have a problem. If you do, they're all U.S.-based. They do not outsource their workers. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available. And membership starts at just $9.99 a month. Let's protect that identity. It's 2017, people. Let's go with LifeLock. LifeLock, Dawson.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate. For 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership, visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right, one more.
All right. Well, speaking of Trump, President Trump told Bloomberg News on Monday that, quote, if it would be appropriate to meet with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, he'd be honored to do it. The meeting would be in the hopes of diffusing tensions over the nuclear program, according to CNN. Now, no sitting U.S. president has ever met with the leader of North Korea while in power, and the idea is extremely controversial. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer, however, said on Monday that the U.S. would first need to see some changes in North Korean behavior before a potential sit-down. But Trump had fairly kind things to say about the dictator during his interview on Face the Nation. Here's a clip.
To happen. What do you make of the North Korean leader?
I really have no comment on him. People are saying, is he sane? I have no idea. I can tell you this, and a lot of people don't like when I say it, but he was a young man of 26 or 27 when he took over from his father, when his father died. He's dealing with obviously very tough people, in particular the generals and others. And at a very young age, he was able to assume power. A lot of people, I'm sure, tried to take that power away, whether it was his uncle or anybody else. And he was able to do it. So obviously he's a pretty smart cookie.
Smart cookie.
I have no comment. Here's a bunch of comments.
Now, you think syphilis is eating Oon's brain, or is he, like, if he got like a full workup, like a full medical, psychological evaluation, what would we find?
That, well, there's never been a healthier human being.
Yeah,
that's
right. He's top
well,
of the
yeah, his guys. But I mean, if we could smuggle him out to Dr. Drew and put him in a van together.
My thought has come up on this show before about, you know, you said, what, you know, make fun of child actors, you know, we say, oh, their lives are a mess. But what person raised from childhood to be a like, you are the center of everyone's attention and world, you are world famous from a young age, like, of course that person's going to be screwed up when they're an adult. Now take that, not just famous and rich and a star, but the leader of a country, a dictator leader of a country. Yeah. Like, you're gonna be pretty, he may have some, you know, mental things.
No, there's no other way to turn out.
Yeah, there really what do you expect?
There is no other way to turn out. You know, my feeling is sort of like, I don't know, talk to anybody, let them explain to you why they're not insane, and then we'll nuke them. That's the way I like to look at it.
You should be head of defense. I like it.
You know what he should do? He should get, you know what Trump should do? What? Trump should get not an armed Tomahawk missile, but just a hollowed out Tomahawk missile on wheels like a hobby horse. You know what I mean? And whenever he meets with a crazy dictator from, if he meets with Assad or Oon or whoever, he just sits on top of that and they just talk. They can be talking about anything. They can talk about sports. They can talk about climate change. They can talk about anything, but he's just sitting on top of that thing the entire time. And when he thinks, he does it like a tapping move. Yeah. Okay. So you're thinking about, stepping up your nuclear game. Let's see. Let me give that some thought.
What's that all about?
Okay, I'll consider that. I'll talk to my generals about that. And then if he hears somebody really doesn't like, he pretends it falls off. Like, ooh, found a movement there. Yeah, but he just sits on top of that. We'll put a saddle on it.
Yeah, and can he have puns? Like, my hot pocket, can you go nuke it real quick?
Yeah, go nuke it over there. It's so sad that in 2007, I'm sad on a micro and a macro level. Like, I'm sad that almost every neighbor I've had has been insane. Like, going out and putting notes on windshields of Chris Laxamana's car, going, what are you doing parking here? And it's like, it's on the street.
Yeah.
It's in front of your house. It's not blocking. Then another note. And like, so on a micro level, I'm sad that my neighbors and everyone I went to high school with is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And on a macro level, I hate that it's 2017 and the whole world is insane. Yeah. Like, can't we just go, look, we have computers and laptops and cell phones and smartphones and the internet. Can we just all just
get on board?
And yet you're wondering why people are fighting on flights.
You're right.
That's what this guy, he was sad about everything. And then somebody stepped on his shoe.
I know. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. You are dangerously close to entering me.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Oh, Geico. Let's not forget about Geico. Well, you don't have to be insane. You would be sane if you got yourself some Geico. Save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. You don't even have to leave the house. What do? Just go to your computer. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. And then you get a little extra money. Put that in your pocket. Take a flight to Tokyo, man. Watch a couple guys throw down in the light heavyweight division. Extra money in your pocket thanks to Geico. Geico.com. All right. We're going to do a live podcast, Irvine Improv. That's Thursday, June 15th. And then we're going down to Levity Live. That's Thursday, July 6th. We got a cruise coming up. You can check that out. It's going to be fun. That's November 30th.
You with 100% more Ray.
100% more rate. You can check out the book. Send them a text, 64600. Get the message. Get the discount. Reasonable Doubt. We're doing a town hall with Mark Garagus. That's Thursday, July 20th. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Anything you need. Movies, hats, t-shirts, mugs, whatever. Ron Funches, everybody. Go to Ron Funches. Funches. You can find out. Now, he's coming tomorrow. He's coming out to, that's May 6th. He's coming out to Charlotte, North Carolina, at the Comedy Zone. He's also coming out to San Diego, and he's coming out to San Francisco.
Everywhere.
And just go check
New York, Boston.
Check his website. Find the dates. And Powerless, Thursdays, 8:30 on NBC.
Watch it before it's canceled.
So, until next time, it's Adam Kroll from Ron Funches and Gina Grand Mulvine saying mahalo.
Postmates all day, every day. Cheese steaks.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click on the link at AdamCarolla.com. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings, 5 to 8 a.m. at 100.3 The Sound in L.A. And for tickets on and info on everything, including the Carolla Cruise, this November, Mangry events, books, movies, and more, go to AdamCarolla.com.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Parrish from the Retronauts Podcast, a show about classic video games. We're exploring gaming's history every week. We talk about classic video games and how the medium's past feeds into the industry and culture of today. Want to know more about the people who made Destiny? What's the story behind Mario? And yes, we even explain why they call it Final Fantasy when there's 15 of the things. From arcade classics to the latest retro releases, Retronauts covers it all. Subscribe to us on iTunes or right here on the Podcast One Network. Listening to Retronauts won't help you build your gamer score, but you'll rock at bar trivia.